provided us everything that we need. And Lord, we just are reminded of that, Lord. We are reminded that we're not looking for something that doesn't exist. It's already in us. You've filled us with your Spirit. You've filled us, Lord, with a prophetic spirit. You've filled us with a prophetic sound. You've filled us with breakthrough, Lord God. And today we want to activate that. We want to actually tap into all that you have for us. So, Father, I just thank you, Father, for the call and the anointing and the appointing upon every single person here. Every single person here is destined for breakthrough. Every single person here is called and anointed. You have a calling on your life. You have an appointment. You have an assignment on your life. And I just want to breathe afresh upon you this morning hope. Hope in your situation and hope for whatever you're going through. And Father, as we come to your word, we thank you that your word is living and it is alive. Father, it is not dead. It is not black on white. It is alive. And today we pray for a living transfer, a living activation within our lives, for your word to take root in our lives, for your word to take seed in our life and to produce something in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Take your seats. High five somebody as well. And just say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Amazing. You know, last month I spoke about fire on the altar. How many of you here were here when I spoke on fire on the altar? Okay, very few. How many, let's put it the other way, how many weren't here? Okay. How many don't know where you were? Like, there's a few here that you don't even know where you're. Do you know that you're in Melbourne? Like, hello, hello. You know, I've been just preparing this word, but I tell you what, there has been such a contention on the word this morning. Three of my printers broke down while I was printing. Everything that you can imagine was happening to me. So I'm really excited today because I just know that God wants to do something, and I believe it's a prophetic word in the house. Now, if you know what I'm like, I like to have everything in order and put it all down and write it all down and have my PowerPoints. So now the PowerPoint screen doesn't work. The heaters don't work in the church, right? So we just get more excited. We just love this, you know. We love this journey that we're on because, you know, we still win. I don't know. Just say, I win. Whatever comes against you, whatever is formed against you to pull you down, cannot prosper, because God's word over your life is that you already have prospered, that you already win, that you are already seated with Christ, that you already are all that you need to be, and you are simply becoming who you are. In the book of Genesis, when God created Adam, what did he say to Adam? Adam, become who you are. That means that God has already seen who we are, and we are now evolving, if you want to say. We are outworking who we are, and he is not resistant against you. Let me tell you, God is not resistant against you. God is not holding anything back from you, but he is so for you. He is your breakthrough. And you know, I believe in my heart that today God wants to unlock breakthrough and wants to seed hope in you. Many of you have become conservative because of disappointment. You have become conservative in your faith and your declaration because you have been disappointed. Am I talking to anyone? Everybody's faced disappointment. So what we do, we dumb down our faith and our hope, and we go, well, if I have no expectation, then I can't get hurt anymore. And God is saying, I want you to get over the hurdle of your disappointment, and I want you to breathe again hope into everything you do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on his word. Believe his prophets. And I believe even today that God wants to again wake up the prophetic over your life, the prophetic word over your life, the prophetic mandate over your life, that you will understand how to speak forth his word. And I will show you why. Because I believe that, as we talked about last time, that God is restoring the understanding of the priestly role in our life. We talked a little bit about the Old Testament shadow. We talked about, if you haven't heard it, go to the website under media, and under that tab, you can go to the podcast and you can listen to it. The Bible talks about that the Old Testament is a shadow of things. So here, when we look back over, we see the priesthood and the tabernacle of Moses, and also God is displaying something. And we know that represents not only now, but what happens in heaven. You're following me? So we have in the tabernacle of Moses, we have articles and we have different aspects of it, and we have the priestly duties, what the priests did. And we talked about last time, we talked about how the priests enter in, the sacrifices happen, the washing of the sacrifice, the burning of the sacrifice, and then the priests entered in and they came in through the different aspects. They came to the altar of incense, and the prayers and the praise of the people were offered on the altar with fire. There was always fire. The fire shall never go out on the altar. Never is the fire allowed to go out on the altar. That means our intercession must be constant. We must be in constant communion with the Holy Spirit. We must be constantly allowing our prayers. Why? Then we read in Revelations that the angels come and take those prayers up before the Father with the incense of the prayers and come before the Father. We know that what comes up goes into the heavenlies, right? And then as we present our prayers and our praise and our thanksgiving to the God, then God, the angels bring it before the Lord, and then the Lord shoots down his what? Lightnings, right? That means his answers are coming back to earth, back to earth. So we learned that what goes up must come down. Every single prayer you have ever prayed, and even as the prophets of old said, every sigh. How many of you have been in such a situation you don't have words for what you're going through? Every intercession, every prayer comes before on this altar, burning altar of incense, and our prayers and our sighs and our intercession and our praise and our thanks goes up before the Father, and God begins to work. God begins to do something. That's what we learned. We learned that every prayer. We also learn that, I'm just checking, there you go. I'm following my notes for the first time. What goes up must come down. What are you sending up? Let me ask you, what are you sending up? What are you sending up to God? What are you sending? You need a lifestyle of praise, a lifestyle of thanksgiving, a lifestyle of intercession. You need a lifestyle of sending something up into the heavenlies. See? Leviticus 6:13 says this, fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar, and it is not to go out. You know, that is our responsibility before God. Intercession releases God's brilliant lightning strike to strike the mark on earth. So the word pagah, intercession, is the word pagah. And pagah means, basically, that when you're praying and you're interceding, you begin to build a bullseye. You say, God, this is what I'm praying for. Let's say I'm praying for a breakthrough in my marriage. Let's just say, oh, I've got problems with my husband. Massive problems with my husband. He's not putting the bins out, and he's avoiding me, and he's in his nothing box, and he doesn't pay attention to me, and all of what Ted is totally not like that at all, right? He's like, I'm like, get off, you know. How many wives, we should all be like that. Come on. Okay, so say if I'm having a problem, you know, and I go, God, I want to see restoration. I never check out. Don't check out. Check in, right? We go into end of session, and God is shifting our heart, because when we come before God, we're submitting under him. So we surrender under the hand of God. We submit ourselves under the hand of God. We begin to intercede that God's will from heaven be done on earth. So we begin to paint a big bullseye. Bullseye. Everybody say bullseye. Bullseye. So your intercession paints a bullseye. And then as your intercession is going towards the Father knows exactly what you're asking for. You're not vague. Oh, God, do whatever you want, and nothing happens. And God, and why? Because you haven't painted the bullseye. And you need to learn the art of intercession, and you need to learn the art of coming before God and being specific. If you don't know, then you start to seek God. Father, give me clarity of what I need in this situation. I don't know, but you know. And God will begin to speak to you and give you clarity. So you can go through a different, difficult situation in your life. And you know, you may not have the answer, but he has. And as you intercede, he will give you clarity in that area and direction. And sometimes we feel like we just don't know where we're going. But the more we intercede, the more he will bring clarity to us so we can paint the bullseye. Amen? So we have a bullseye that we're painting through intercession. Now, intercession, there's different aspects of intercession that we can do. We can be reminding God of his promises. Amen? What did the Hebrew priest do? What did the priest do? Reminded God of his promises. Reminding God of his promises. Not blackmailing, going, God, look what you said that you've got to do it. No, because he's for us. So we can intercede and say, God, you promise, Lord, that you would be faithful and you would look after us in this situation. So we trust you in that. And so we can be interceding for promises and appointments that are not yet met or unfulfilled. Amen? We can also take up the case for justice for others and stand in the gap for others. Amen? We can also build up the wall when we see people going through. Then we get on our knees and we say, God, look what's happening in that family. Look what's happening in my family or in someone's circumstance. Lord, we intercede. We ask for healing and breakthrough into those lives. We speak the God breakthrough into those circumstances. Filled with hope, filled with purpose, and we paint the picture of the bullseyes over people's lives. We stand in the gap. So there's a lot of things that the intercessor is doing. And do you know that every one of us are called to our gift, to the ministry of intercession? Listen to what it says here in Revelation 5:10. You have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. In Genesis 1, God commissioned mankind to be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, replenish the earth, and have dominion, to reign. So how do you reign in earth? How do you reign if you always think you're on the back foot or that you're always not able to have a breakthrough? So God wants to teach you in the art of intercession how to reign, that how you are in partnership, divine partnership with heaven and earth. They kiss each other. Heaven and earth are constantly in connection. So you are not trying to appease a resistant God, a God who's not interested in what you're doing. He's very interested in what you're doing. And he wants to awaken the capacity and ability within you to understand your priestly duty of intercession and breakthrough. Our prayers are rising up and God is actively engaging. So what happens when you hit a crisis in your life? I believe, you know, I was in prayer and I had the picture of Zacharias the prophet before Elizabeth was birthed with the baby. And the angel came to him and he said to him, you're going to have a baby. And he was going to speak negatively and God created a mute tongue. Everybody read that story? Remember the story? Why? Because when we speak, we can be aborting and we can be sowing contradictions into our circumstance. We need to be very careful what we are professing. What are we saying out of our mouth? Because we could be contradicting the very thing that God is doing. So that's why the place of intercession is being connected to heaven. We need to learn how to open our mouth. We need to learn how to speak. And I have a word here for someone. Your breakthrough is in your mouth. Your breakthrough is in your mouth. But you can have a breakdown because it's in your mouth. Or you can have a breakthrough because that word is in your mouth. That word of deliverance, that breakthrough anointing is in your mouth. Or your breakdown. And so you choose what it is you say. You choose. you choose. I have just so much. Father, I just believe that God wants to just shift something here. I want to read something to you. Isaiah 55. I woke up this morning and I had a word from God for you. Now, I want you to listen to this because this is a word for you. Right, it's not for the person next to you. Just tell them, this is not for you, this is for me. So I'm going to be greedy. Today, this is for me. Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So as in the natural, we see the rain come. Now, we've had beautiful rain the last few days. How many here saw the hailstones? How many know when the snow comes, everything turns white? And you have a prophetic picture of how God wants to water your heart today, wants to water the seed that he's seeded over your life. This heavenly shower that's coming over you does not retreat. It is not going to go back. The rain doesn't go, I don't want to do this, and go back in the cloud. How many know that once it's released from the cloud, it's sent forth to do its job, right? So this wave of rain, this spiritual rain that's coming onto your life is there to water. There is no retreating, and it will not go back to its starting point. So you've got to understand, when God speaks to you, he has a deliberate word for you. He has a deliberate thing over your life, and he will not retreat, and that word is not going to go back to him. He speaks over you, so you have the word, this word that is spoken to you, this prophetic word, the living word, not a letter. Listen to me very careful. The word of God, Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. If you speak this without the anointing, you will produce death. And many people have come and given you the letter, given you the word without the spirit. And you have come under such a weight of condemnation. How many have read this and come under condemnation? Yeah? Come on, you think about it. But Jesus said, I came to give you life and the spirit. And the spirit is working with the word in your life. And so he came and he gave you his prophetic word. He gave you the word and his spirit anointing on that word in your life. He has seeded you. The Bible says that when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit came and inscribed the word into your heart. It's in your heart. I've taken out the heart of stone and I've given you a heart that is inscribed with my word. I'll put my laws on their heart. I will put my word into their heart. How many here got the word of God in your heart? And you know you awaken the word with the spirit. You need to be Holy Spirit people. Holy Spirit people that can take the word, and we never go with the word without the spirit, yeah? We always have the spirit. So some of us need to zip it until we feel the anointing of grace when we deliver the word, because we will kill without the anointing. We will produce law and people will come under condemnation, but the spirit gives us life, grace, peace, joy. That's when you know you're flowing. That's when you know, because the spirit gives you life and his prophetic word, his word is flowing in your life, and you are able to share it, and it produces life. What did they say about Jesus? You know, he said, "Where you go? Are you going to leave me too?" And they said, "Where? Who else has the word of life? Who else is going to?" You know, every time Jesus talked, they're like, "Oh, did you
dead. Oh my gosh, he's amazing. But you know what? He's still speaking to you. Do you celebrate? Do you jump up and down? Do you go, the revelation to bring life into my life is right here in his word. We hide it in our heart and we live it out. We worship God. So as his word comes, his word. So now we have the living, we have the word, the foundation that we stand on, that everything, it's unchanging. We have his word, and then we have his prophetic word. And he speaks into our life and into our heart. And that prophetic word goes in very powerfully. How many here have never received a prophetic word? Oh, I love it. Not one hand. So we understand how prophecy is the now word of God. The word of God is now going out. Now listen to what it says. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Okay? Just like the rain. His word, what is it doing now over your life? He's raining over you. The snow of his word, the word is going over you. And he's watering what? He's watering you. I love this. The water there, the word water there, he waters, is rava, and it means to quit. It means to make you drunk. He literally comes to saturate you so much that you become drunk with that word. That means that you're not rational and you're not sitting there criticizing the word and analyzing the word. How many drunks do you know who are analytical? And how many drunks do you know that sit there and go, I don't know about that. I don't think I like that. Maybe that's not for me. Maybe that's for somebody else. Oh, no. No, they're like, oh, whatever. Happy. Oh, yeah, whatever. But see what God is saying? That you need to become drunk with his word. That you're like, oh, can I have a little bit more? Can I have a bit more, God? I'm just still a little bit thirsty. How many know they can sit there and have 7 bottles of wine and still be thirsty? How thirsty are you? Are you proper, analytical, critiquing, analyzing? Or are you allowing the water of his word, his spirit to soak in you? To make you drunk, that you go, I just want more, God. Your appetite increases and all of the pretension leaves and you just position yourself like, now I'm ready for the snow. Like, water was good, but I want the snow now, God. I just want the snow now. I want to literally feel the weight of the water. Prophetically, this is what God is saying to you. You need to become spiritually drunk with the word that God has spoken over your life, that you will actually relinquish control and walk into a place of liberty in his spirit. And you allow him to do what he wants to do in your life. Selah, think on that. That he wants to come and he wants to pour such a level of soaking in you, that the word, the prophetic word, and the word that you become drunk. I want to ask you a question. Are you drunk? Are you drunk yet? Are you drunk yet? Have you read enough? Have you soaked enough? Have you let that word just wait on you? The prophetic word. Thus says God, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And you go, oh. Nice word. God gave me a word. I got a word, a prophetic word. Wow. The church has got a prophetic word. Wow. Okay, good. Oh, we sit in it. Rain on it, Lord. Rain. Rain in that word. Let that word soak in. That I actually become so inebriated, so drunk with your possibilities, so overwhelmed by your capacity, so overtaken by heaven on earth, and not earth to heaven, no, heaven to earth, that all things are possible, all things are there. you know, within that, he begins to call forth everything that it says there. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Where he speaks over you, it is the word there to bear young. He is looking to produce something in your life. He is looking for fruit in your life. He is looking to see what's going to spring, what's going to grow from you. What's happening in your world? That word that comes over and sees in us, something's going to break forth in our life. That's why you have a breakthrough anointing. That's actually what it is, that watering of his word, the drunkenness of his spirit. I'm full that I can produce for him. I can actually begin to spring forth. He begins to seed us. And I believe it's a prophetic word over our church that the conference is called Momentum. I actually went back over all my prophetic words, and guess what? There it was in one of the prophetic words, Momentum. The actual prophetic word was, God is going to give you momentum. And I went, oh, I'm sitting there going, this is amazing, because a few weeks ago, I'm just like, momentum, spiritual momentum. God's going to give us spiritual momentum. Do you have an ear that is hearing what God is saying? Do you have an open ear that actually you go, what is God doing? You know, we don't just go to church. We are the church, right? We are assembling together. We are hearing from God. We worship together. We make a statement. We actually called the ecclesia, the called out ones, and we gather. Why? Because now we build one another up. And we actually are encouraging one another. Listen to this. He gives us bread. And so in the natural seed is for sowing and bread is for eating. God also wants to do that within your life. He wants you to have seed that he is going to give you to seed out, and bread for you to devour, to nourish you. Amen? Amen? This word is amazing. And it will come to pass. Listen to that. My word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. The word there, void, means empty, ineffectual, undeservedly, without cause, empty, vain. His word within it is the potency to produce and to actually release what it's sent forth to do. You know, we sit under an anointing as a corporate body, Faith Life Church, and we've got some amazing prophetic words. But within those prophetic words corporately, each one of us has been seeded with potential for those seeds. Each one of us sit there and have that, but we need to become drunk with that word. We need to begin to soak in that word. We need to be understanding in that word that by his stripes we are healed. There's a healing anointing on our church. There's a prophetic anointing. There's anointing for deliverance over our church. There's an anointing for impact, global hope dispensers. There is anointing, and we can sit there and have it sitting away from us, or we can become drunk with it. We can allow it to come into us and begin to intercede. And when we begin to intercede, Lord, your promise says this. We're going to be global hope dispensers. As a corporate body, we have an anointing for healing deliverance. You know what? Those prayers begin to arise to heaven, and guess what God does? Hey, how many here are painting bullseyes for your life, for your family, for your church? Bullseyes, and God begins to shoot forth his lightnings of answers. That is what he wants to do. The word of God does not come back void. It will accomplish or make or execute or perform and even prepare that word is accomplished. And within it is the evidence of miracles. Miracles. I believe that God is going to bring us into a place of effortless miracles. You know, in years ago, it was like, how many times have you prayed? What didn't you do? What didn't you do? What didn't you? Now we can position ourselves to really believe God's breakthrough, right? Now it's going to be, God, we just thank you for your breakthrough. Breakthrough comes because we step into another arena, another level of understanding of what he has. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper. You know what? God will accomplish his word over your life, and he will bring prosperity in that word. It's not a prosperity gospel. It is the revelation of that all things belong to God, and that as children, all things belong to us. All things belong to God, and all things belong to us. And he has sent forth his word over our church. And God has spoken over our lives and our church. The proclamation of his word has gone forth. The proclamation of his heart's intent, what he wants to do. And your word there also, to prosper, also means to push forward. The picture there is that as he sees his word and as his word goes forth, he begins to push us forward into the fulfillment of those words. So he is pushing us into the revelation of those words, into that word. Amen? He's going to profit us and bring us into all that he has. You know, each one of us are privileged and responsible to proclaim the word of God as his priests. We are to receive his word and we are to declare and proclaim in faith. We are to water and bathe and make drunk and be filled with his promises and his word and his faith and his love. We are to totally be immersed in that abundance and bring forth. God is good. He's doing amazing things. You know, we receive a prophetic word. So what do we do with a prophetic word? I just want to see where I'm up to here. Interesting. I was interested with the communion because this scripture came this morning. Let me just read it out to you from Hebrews 10, 19 to 20. And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us to come right into the most holy sanctuary in heavenly realm boldly and with no hesitation. For he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. So we are brothers and sisters, and now we have access. Just think about it, access into the heavenly realm to Jesus. And since we now have a magnificent king priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced by faith that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove all impurity, and we have been freed from an accusing conscience, and we are now clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. The blood of Jesus has made you acceptable before God. The accuser will come and always bring up whatever. And you need to, by faith, you need to say, no, 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 that's a lie. I have absolute access to God. I can hear God. I can commune with God. I can have access to God. We are now presentable. Everybody say presentable. Presentable. You and I presentable. We can come before God. So now we must cling tightly to the hope. So here God wants to talk to you about your level of hope. You need to rise your level of hope and forget about your disappointments. You need to rise your hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. Everybody says that God keeps his promises. So when we intercede, we have a hope. And that hope is like, yes, God keeps his promises. God always keeps his promises. Verse 24, discover, now, this is our assignment. Everyone say, I have an assignment. And your assignment is this. Discover creative ways to encourage others and motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not a time to neglect meeting together as believers, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage each other as we anticipate the day dawning. So here we are, we cling with hope. We are coming and we know God has cleansed us and we have been sprinkled with the blood. So now we have free access into the Holy of Holies and access to the Father. We can bring our intercession. We can remind him of his promises. We can intercede on behalf of others, knowing he keeps his promises. We're not assaulting a God that is reluctant. He is so willing. He is so open to us. He's like, I want you to partner with me in this great work that I'm doing. I want you to be partnering with me. So his invitation is to us to come into the family and to go, wow, we get to do this. We get to be part of this. We get to encourage one another. We get to understand how God works. And this is so powerful. This is absolutely powerful. Fabulous. Now, let's take it one more step. There is tremendous power released through proclamation. So as we declare the word of God, and as we say, we speak the word of God, there is incredible power that's released. And we need to be aware that this power is available to each one of us. Whether it be personal, corporate, international, whatever the crisis may be, there's a need for a divine intervention, we need to learn how to speak the word into that situation and release God's word over situations. This situation with the safe schools, we don't come up with a plaque, we speak. We don't come up demonstrating, we speak. When we see situations in our country and our culture and our government, we don't sit there and we don't fight in the natural, we begin to speak. Speak into that situation the word of God. We release the pagger. God, here's the bullet. This is the bullseye right here. We want you to intervene. Let wisdom come. Let your word come. Let godly influence come into that situation. We release God's power and his creative power into those situations that can bring transformation. So we see it in the old through like Daniel and the different ones, how they go into intercession and God breaks out over a whole nation. Every one of you are intercessors, interceding for the nation of Australia, interceding for Faith Life Church, interceding for Melbourne, interceding for your family. Every one of you are intercessors and every one of you have this responsibility and the privilege to proclaim God's word and to speak it over, speak it out of your mouth. Speak it out of your mouth. I just see it again in the spirit. Many of you have a mute spirit, a mute mouth. And God wants to open your mouth and he wants you to be filled with his word to speak it forth. This is your invitation to join in making proclamations, to release by faith a shift into the spiritual atmospheres over our lives and our family. We look at situations and we walk in natural ways and it is unprofitable. But if we shift into the Spirit and we move in the Spirit and we proclaim by the Spirit of God the word and we begin to prophesy into the situation, God has something to work with. Don't be counterproductive in your declarations. Some people are listening, so that's good. Don't be counterproductive in your declarations by decreeing one thing and confessing another. Come on, if you're going to believe something, then believe it totally. Otherwise, wait. Get into the place of prayer. God, change my heart. There's a spirit of unbelief. It's not from you. That spirit of unbelief is speaking, and I'm listening, and I reject that spirit of unbelief and doubt. And now I speak by the Spirit of God, and I declare and decree the word of God over that situation, and I come in agreement with your word. Agreement with your word. So don't be duplicity. Say one thing and then confess something else. That's not going to work. It's like, I love you, Ted, and then leave. You know, I'm committed to you, and then walk out. No. My confession... and my word and my heart is in alignment. God wants you spirit, soul, and body in one alignment. This is the word for you. He wants your mind, will, and emotion, your body and your spirit in one alignment with his word. That is the ultimate for you. He wants to align everything in your life into one so you don't say one thing and the next thing you say the other thing and then you have a bad day and then you say something else. You're saying all of these things. You're seeding all of these things. And God says, no. I want you of one mind, one heart, one spirit. Everybody say one. 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 You are one. So here, we don't want to be counterproductive. We don't want to be confessing one thing, declaring one thing, and then go, well, how do I feel today? Right? No. One thing. We want to be consistent, knowing that when you commit to releasing those things that pertain to life and ministry, church, family, whatever it is, your workplace, that God is saying that whatsoever you, listen to this, whatsoever you, whether positive or negative, in faith or unbelief, whatever you confess, whatever you profess, will be loosed. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you say, what do you say? What's coming out of your mouth? What do you say? Because it's going to actually have an impact. It's going to produce something. It's going to impact something. What are you saying over your family? What are you saying over your children? Are you critical? And then on church, let's come and love Jesus on Sunday. Are we nagging each other and against one another and then come and then put on the Sunday best? Woohoo! I'm at church now. Go home. Snap, snap, snap. Bite, bite, bite. Bible says biting and devouring one another. We ought not to do that. So we need our lives to match. Everybody say no biting. No devouring. There's a lot of cannibals in here. It's shocking. Stop it. Okay, so whatsoever you loose, what are you loosing? What are you loosing over your house? What are you releasing? What have you loosed over your home, over your marriage? What have you loosed? I'm coming to a close. Worship team. Whatever you bind will be bound. Proclaim means, listen to this, the word proclaim means to shout. Shout. To proclaim, to decree, to confess. When the words of our mouths agree with the word of God, we position ourselves to receive the full backing and authority of Jesus. When we shout, when we decree, everybody shout at me the word shout. Ready? One, two, three.
Shout!
That's it. That is a proclamation, shout. Now, listen to this. Hebrews 3:1 says, Jesus is the high priest of our confession, of your proclamation. So, has he got anything to work with? He's the high priest of your shout. He's the high priest of what you confess. What do you confess? What do you shout? Because he's the high priest of that you confess. Jesus is the high priest of what we confess. Whatever we say with our mouths in agreement with God's word, then Jesus is our high priest in heaven, and he releases his authority and blessing over that. So as we come and we shout unto God, prosperity, blessing, harvest, souls, a fruitful marriage, fruitful family, as we shout and declare God's word, Jesus is up there going, totally with you, totally with you, I'm with you. I send my blessing and my authority over that word because we come into agreement. Now let me ask you a question. If we remain silent, we cut off his ministry as our high priest. If we remain silent, we cut off his ministry and release over your life. The problems that you face is not because he's resistant. It's because you have no shout. You have no say-so. You haven't said anything. You haven't given him anything to work with in agreement with his word. You're still vacillating in a place of unbelief, and you're allowing your circumstances on earth. You're saying, Lord, as it is in earth, whatever's happening here, let it be in heaven. And Jesus is saying, no. As it is in heaven, let it be on earth. And we need to take our eyes off our natural circumstances, and we need to shift our confession, because many of us are only confessing the earth. We're confessing our situation. We're confessing our lack. We're confessing our sickness. We're confessing these things are the reality. And God is saying, no, I want you to profess, proclaim, and shout what is in heaven and bring it to earth. Everything that you come and you decree and declare, I will activate it. I will activate what you say over your world. Activate over your life, over where you work, where you live, in your relationships. When you activate it, God can do something. He's the high priest of our shout, of our confession. What are you shouting? Many of you need to go into a park somewhere, there's nobody else, right? Or in your car, and you need to start to shout. I believe my marriage is ordained by God. It is blessed, and we will be fruitful in all aspects of our marriage. We will love one another, cherish. We won't just be best friends, but we're going to shift it up. We're going to have a wonderful relationship, and our relationship would display the glory of God. I love my children, and my children are going to be blessed and taught of the Lord. I decree and declare that my children are going to be followers of Jesus. They're going to rise up as prophets and prophetesses in the house of God, and they're going to make a difference. I decree and I declare over this church that the word of God has been spoken and it will come to pass. I'm shouting and decreeing and coming into agreement with God and what He has spoken. I've given my high priest something to agree with. I've given my high priest something. My high priest, I've given him something. If we remain silent, we cut off his ministry. I don't know any of us who want to be in that position. And I declare over your life that you will have a shout. You will have a shout. You will have a shout. Let us not come into agreement with what's on earth. In this life, there will be challenges. You will have to fight things. But God has said, I am your redeemer. I'm the one that gives you victory. I'm the one that has overcome. Therefore, you will overcome all things. That's your confession. Your confession is, I will overcome. I am an overcomer. And Jesus goes, I got something to work with. I have got something to work with. And He pagas. We've painted the bullseyes. And now His word and His answer can shoot back. And we will see things move. Amen, church. Amen, church. I want you to now listen to our proclamation. I have gone through some of the prophetic words. I want you to stand with me as I read this. When I finish reading this, we are going to make a shout of agreement. Listen to this. Faith Life Church, your hallmark will be achieving the impossible, having the spirit of faith and achieving the impossible. The hallmark will be one of breaking limitation of people's minds, the mindsets, and going beyond the reasonable. God has given us unreasonable faith, illogical faith, ridiculous faith. God wants to be God to you. This church is known by the spirit of conquest, by the spirit of faith, by a spirit of tenacity. It is the DNA of this church, and we will take the next horizon, and we are not going to settle down. We are not going to accept that this is enough. God has ordained us to rule and reign in this place. Amen. And God has taken the lid off our life and off our church, and He has taken the limitations off our lives and off our church, and we declare that all things are possible through God. We will not battle in isolation, and we will forge strategic alliances with those like-minded, and we will reach out to water and assist those in this area needing help, and we will exercise spiritual warfare and learn the ways of exercising authority, and we will break through the spiritual darkness of religiosity in the name of Jesus, and we will be ones who are not afraid of the task before us, and we will think outside of the box. And God has prepared a place for us, but it is not what others have thought. We are those who look through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of divine potential. We have the eyes of faith, and we declare that God has given us the eyes of faith to see what He sees and His perspective and insight, and we will see what others have not seen. And we are people of faith, and we have taken ownership of the vision of Faith Life Church. It is personal, and we are in this the long haul, and we are spiritual armor bearers of the vision, taking personal ownership of what is happening. We have a generous heart. A distinctiveness is of faith life is generosity in faith. Our generosity is for those of the household and for those outside. Generosity and great faith go together. This is distinctive of our church, Faith Life Church. Father, you have raised us up a people whose love for one another is firm and whose loyalty is unshakable, whose selflessness of heart reflects your own example of servanthood. God has a deliberate and a purposeful timing for His purposes, and I see that He has actually delayed you, not for the sake of denial. He has delayed you to enforce His timing. So Dan, don't get frustrated. Don't let temptation or frustration set in. And I see this metron
this is Vicky Simpson's word, and I see that there is a pace, and God has a pace, and sometimes that pace seems a bit slow, but it is for a purpose. It is for a purpose, and do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. You are like Aaron's rod, sprouts, buds, blooms, ripe, ripe almonds, and we declare the timing of God. This is our declaration. We declare the timing of God is perfect, and that his pace is perfect to bring us to our breakthrough, our destiny, our permanence of venue at just the right time. And we declare that God has a unique call and identity, a unique identity on our church, and we surrender with confidence to enforce his calendar, and we will not walk in frustration but trust and faith. And we declare that specialized ministries will be released in this church, that people who are bound and who are tormented will come and they will be set free. And we declare a stream of deliverance flowing. And this is a hallmark of our church. We declare that people will find acceptance and healing and restoration in this church. Healing will be a hallmark of this church. And we will be carriers of healing to our community, to our marketplace in Jesus' name. We declare that healing and deliverance will flow from ministries in this house. And we declare, listen to this, the steps of a good man and a good church are established by the Lord when he delights in his ways. In this season, God is ordering our steps as a church. Despite the contradictions, despite setbacks, we declare that God is ordering our steps and he is in control of the outcomes. What has seemed to be setbacks is simply God stretching us, getting us ready to catapult this church into the future seasons he has for us. We declare that our setback isn't a setback, it is a comeback. Amen. And we declare that God is moving us from nomad to permanence, that he will give us a building, not for the sake of a building, but that this building will be, the building will be for salvation and for the spirits to move. Salvation to the nations and regions. And we declare and decree that this church is where people get saved, baptized, are filled with the Holy Spirit, are trained and equipped and empowered and sent out with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, carrying the message of the gospel of the kingdom and demonstrating with signs and wonders. Amen, church. Let's just give a lot of shouts.